Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
1 Peter 1:7, Genesis 41:36, 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Genesis 41:36. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. I want to talk to you today on the subject, the gold is in the fire, and the favors in the famine. You may be seated. There's a reason why more Christians are not prosperous. I didn't say are not saved, but are not more prosperous than they are. You know, there's a lot of Christians just getting by. They're living just like their unsaved neighbor, at the very same level. They're not prospering the way God intended for them to. The reason why that many Christians are not prosperous is they fear the fire and they flee the famine. The Bible plainly says that the fire has no power over us, and from the famine we will not perish. I'm going to tell you, if you are living in this world a spiritual life, that there will be fire applied to your existence. The Bible said that the trial of your faith is going to be tried. It's going to be tried. Then the trial of your faith, Peter said, is much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire. He said your faith is going to be tried with fire. There's going to be some hot spots in your life. Some of you had some this week. The fire began to burn, and you said, what am I doing wrong? It could be because you're doing something very, very right. You know, we talk so much about the Apostle Paul because he was so well educated and so brilliant. There's no telling, there is no discussion that his IQ was higher than the other disciples. He was just a genius. His writing is evidence of that. His experiences bear note of that. And so he gets a lot of attention, but there were more than one disciple. There were disciples by other names. But look for just a moment at Simon Peter. You know, Peter went through lots of things that are not comparable to Paul's, not nearly as cosmopolitan and romantic as Paul's trials. No shipwrecks, no national trials. His trials were more like mine. They were not important to anybody but him, but they were real important to him. And he went through lots of trials. You know, Peter was more blue-collared to Paul's white-collar. He was not a professional. He was a fisherman, and he was labeled by his accusers as being an ignorant and unlearned man. He had dirt under his fingernail and grime on his collar. He was just a normal man in an abnormal situation. He was just a fisherman that had been promoted without the benefit of seminary to a place of theologian, been promoted to a place of apostolic authority without training. He found himself in that precarious position, and so his trials were unique to him. He was embarrassed time after time. Finally, when he was questioned about the prolific endeavor that he was involved in daily, he should have been, probably came from a family that was. He should have been a prolific fisherman, but he finally had to answer, we have caught nothing. Publicly embarrassed. There's not many trials that are much more than that, but Peter spent a lifetime of being publicly embarrassed. I started pastoring when I was a young man and knew little about human nature, and it was on my occasion that I would embarrass somebody, not because I didn't like them, because I was ignorant of the real sustaining injury of embarrassing somebody publicly. It's terrible to be embarrassed in front of a crowd. You know, sometimes I get embarrassed when I'm by myself of some of the dumb things I do. But to be embarrassed in front of a whole crowd of people is much more psychologically injurious. And Peter experienced that trial of public humiliation, that fiery trial, many times. What have you caught? I haven't caught anything. Are you a fisherman, sir? No, I'm a carpenter, but I'm a better fisherman than you are. Why don't you cast out on the other side? Peter cast out on the other side, just hoping that he'd get nothing. But when he pulled his nets up, they were full. It didn't make him feel better. It made him feel worse, because that was his trade. Jesus was a carpenter that knew more about fishing than Peter did, and Peter was a professional fisherman. Nothing like being embarrassed by somebody that is a novice at your own trade, but it was a trial for him. He not only was not able to walk very far when he got out of that boat, he thought he was going to walk around like he was taking a stroll in the neighborhood. Just a few feet from that boat, he began to go down. He was terribly embarrassed, but he was embarrassed not only because he couldn't walk on the water, he was embarrassed because he had been raised on the lakes and he didn't know how to swim. He was embarrassed time and time again. And then when Jesus made his statement about what he was going to go through, Peter said, "Oh no, that's not going to happen. I'll be there with you, Jesus. Though everybody else abandon you, I'll be with you." And Jesus would publicly humiliate him and say, "You don't know what you're talking about. Get thee behind me." Not Peter, not Cephas. "Get behind me, Satan." He actually called Peter Satan in front of the other disciples. You know, Peter had lots of times to say, "I was hurt in church. I could just quit right now. I don't have to put up with this." But there was something about Peter that he was able to rebound. I liked what Pastor Brandon said. He said, "Those that bear precious seed will come again." Friend, those that have the seed in them will return. No matter how many times they're humiliated, no matter how many times they're put down, no matter how many fiery trials they've gone through, they come back. I'm not preaching to some people here today that are unscathed. There's not a person in this audience that has not had excuses to drop out and quit and say, "I don't have to extend myself in this humiliation." But there's something inside of you that makes you return. You ought to thank God today. "I'm a returner. I just won't give up. I just won't stop. I won't let anybody waylay me. I'm going to keep coming back until I get it right." That's what I do with the Lord. I don't always get it right, but I keep trying till I do get it right. And so Peter said, "Well, I'm not going to give up. I've been humiliated. Jesus called me a devil, but I'm going to keep following him, because I've realized this, that the gold is in the fire. And when I go through something, no matter how painful it is, when I come out on the other side, I'm a richer man." There's some people in this building today that are not spiritually destitute because you've been through some things. You've had some friends walk out on you. You've had some financial reversals. You've had some people that you thought loved you just gave up on you. You've had some people you thought were friends turned out to be those people that were two-faced and were really your problem, and you're still here. That tells me that you've got some gold in you. You've got some precious gold in you. You've got some gold that's 22 carat. You've got something inside of you that is more powerful than what the things of this world are. You know, Peter not only experienced that, but when he was in the midst of a dissertation, in the midst of a real revelation to the people about Judaism and about how that as a Christian you had to divorce yourself from Judaism, by this time the Apostle Paul has not only joined him in events in the Christian church, but Paul has eclipsed everybody. He has become the learned, educated, intellectual. He has been the very proponent of grace. He has been one that used to be a Judaizer and a persecutor of the church. And now he has been promoted to be the chief spokesman for the Gentiles. And he has now gained a mighty place in the ministry. And as Peter is making his dissertation, Paul said this, kind of bragged about it. He said, I withstood Peter to his face. I publicly humiliated him because I felt like he was being hypocritical in the way he dealt with Gentiles in certain situations. And so the great spokesman of the church brought Peter down a little bit. Peter said, that's kind of common for me. I kind of understand what that is. I had a friend that took a church running 6,000 when the pastor had moral failure. The church immediately went from 6,000 to 600. That's got to be pretty tough on your ego. He was called to preach a conference that the other man was supposed to preach, and when they introduced him, 10,000 people in an auditorium, when his name was called as the public speaker, went, oh, 10,000 of them. He boldly took the pulpit, and he said, that sound I heard doesn't intimidate me at all. I hear it every Sunday morning where I preach. There used to be 6,000 and now there's 600. But he said, God didn't call me to please people. He called me to please him. Friend, that's somebody that's got some gold in their spine. That's somebody that's got some gold in their spirit. And so Peter went through all of these trials of life, had all of these reasons to quit. So he was qualified to write to us in 1 Peter 4 and 12 and say, beloved, think it not strange. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. I don't know what you've been through this week, but don't think it strange, my friend. You said, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why this is happening to me. It's because God knows what your load limit is, and he will allow you to go right to your limit. Because when you go to your limit, it's increasing your gold standard. It's increasing the value that you have and the value you are. And your favor starts coming and your gold starts increasing. So Peter went through all of this. And he was probably among the least educated of all the disciples and all the apostles. But when God got ready for a preacher on the very birthday of the church, he reached down. He didn't get a doctor. He got an ignorant, unlearned fisherman because he said, here is a man that's gone through some trials and he is as wealthy in gold spiritually as anybody I've got. His gold was what caused his promotion. There's some people in this building right now that are due for a promotion because you've been going through some things, some fiery trials in your life. And you're still standing. And you ought to say, I'm ready. Because now Peter is promoted to the preacher of Pentecost. He's promoted to become an apostle. He has got his name branded on the foundation in the New Jerusalem. He's got authority and position. He becomes an author of the New Testament. And he was just a fisherman. But he had this ability that when the fire came against him, he didn't say, why me? He said, this is not strange. This is normal. It is the fire that refines and makes the gold come to surface. I don't know what you've been going through this week, but you should not be fighting the fire. You ought to be rejoicing, saying, thank God, I am counted worthy to go through this because God's getting ready to promote me to my Pentecost, to my position, to my authority, and to my ability to write what God calls me to write in my life. The Bible said we're epistles seen and read of all men. Friend, when you go through the fire and you come out on the other side, your story is not boring. It's something that everybody reads. Look what happened to him and look where he is now. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that God has told us that the fire has no power over us. But it is the fire. It is the fire that produces power in our life. When you talk about the three Hebrew children, it's quite a story. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. Not just the fiery furnace, but seven times hotter than it had ever been. If it hadn't been for the fire, you would never know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Every Sunday school kid learns the name of Shadrach, Abednego, because they know that there is something different about them. What is it? They're the only people in history that went through a fire where the furnace was seven times hotter than it had ever been. And when they got through, they were still standing. In fact, they were thrown in bound. But the Bible said when the king looked in, they were no longer bound. The Bible said they were walking and leaping around in there. What happened? That fire that is meant to destroy you, it all it's going to do is burn off your shackles. It's going to burn off your ropes. It's going to burn off the things that the devil is trying to bind you with, because the fire has no power over you. It didn't hurt their clothes. The Bible said there was no smell of fire on their clothes. But praise God, their bonds were gone. They had been burnt off. And if it hadn't been for the fire, we wouldn't even know their name. But praise God, when he looked in, he said, did we not cast in three into the fiery furnace? Yes, we did. There are four now. I don't care what kind of fiery trial you're going through right now. I can tell you there's a fourth man with you, and his name is Jesus Christ. And this fire is not for your destruction. This fire is for your promotion. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The things I hate are the things that have made me. The things that I detested are the things that have promoted me. The things that I would have avoided me are the things that anchor me. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to realize that the Lord is on our side. He didn't say he was going to take us round. He said he was going to take us through. And when you come through something, you got a testimony. And when you got a testimony, you got the power to overcome the very next thing. There's a whole lot of people in this church that have been through the fire. But praise God, that's the reason why you are like pure gold and the devil can't destroy you. We also look in the Bible about something that is repetitiously occurring in the Word of God, and that is famine. The leader of Canada said this week, I saw the quote, he said, this is the problem we've got now around the world with people in political office. He said, we no longer need farmers. This is the leader of Canada. We no longer need farmers. He said, we now have grocery stores. Check that guy's IQ out. So we don't hear much in America about famine. But in the Bible, famine was a real deal. Famine meant whether you were going to live or die. Famine meant whether you were going to feed your family or not. And the thing that you feared more than anything else was a famine. We're not going to have enough to eat. We get concerned when there's a hurricane on the coast and we go down to HEB and they're out of bottled water. Well, that's one I meant. I remember when they started selling bottled water, I said, that'll never work. Why are people going to pay for something in a bottle that's in their tap? They can just go, I said, that'll never work. Man, I wish that I got in on the ground floor of the bottled water business. I just didn't think that'd work. But we don't think too much about it. But when we see that the shelves are just a little bare, oh my, oh my, they're out of Twinkies. It causes my heart to race. This could be a famine coming on. I wonder what's causing this. Ours are a little superficial compared to theirs. Theirs was a matter of life or death. And so we are familiar with a man named Joseph. Joseph is the king of stories in the Bible because of one word. It's called famine. I can tell you today that the famines that you go through are what will bring the favor of God in your life. Joseph would have been nobody. He was the runt of the litter, the last born. He was just an ill-conceived event in the life of this great family. But he was a dreamer, and he had a dream, and they buried him in a pit, and that would have been the end of him. But there was a famine on that caused people to move around. And so suddenly, instead of dying in the pit, he's on a wagon train headed for Egypt. And in Egypt, God uses him, and it's just a long story. But every time the Bible says this, it said, and God prospered Joseph, and God prospered Joseph. And it was all in the midst of a famine. The very famine that you're going through right now is the thing that will bring promotion and favor into your life. But we flee famine as far as we can. We would rather have just an immediate little handful of something to eat, just a little bowl of soup like Esau, than we would get ready and say, wait just a minute. This famine is going to be something major, but my God is going to use me. You know what makes you a superstar is that you can do things other people can't do. You can exist where the other people can't exist. You can go places other people can't go. And so we find Joseph in this terrible famine in Egypt, and this famine promotes him to a place of unbelievable authority. Friend, I want to tell you, instead of cursing the famine, you need to realize a famine is a blessing because it brings promotion into your life. When people begin to look at you and they say, well, how did he make it? They realize there's something significant about you. There's something different about you. Praise God. God has brought great favor in my life. You know, I went through a whole deal ministerially when I was just a young man in my early 20s and wanted to come here, and through no fault of my own and through no moral failure and through no doctrinal heresy, they asked me to leave my denomination, which I did because, like Joseph, I had a dream of building a church in San Antonio. But now I look back and say, well, what if I had stayed in that denomination? All I can tell you, this building is bigger than any in that denomination. This congregation is larger than any church in that denomination. I went through a famine, but that famine was what brought me the favor of Almighty God. I realized I was not dependent on man. I wasn't dependent on religion. I wasn't dependent on denomination, but I was dependent on the favor of Almighty God. And so the Lord has been with me. Not been any time where the Lord has forsaken me. There's been lots of times where I wanted something I didn't have, but I just stayed true to God. And Joseph went through that. He was separated from his father, separated from his family, separated from the land of his nativity. But nevertheless, he just kept being promoted by God. There's some people in this building right now that have gone through some famines in your life. But what you don't realize is God's brought you to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And because you've been through the famine and you've stayed faithful through the famine, that God is getting ready to promote you. There's somebody in this building that's going to be promoted this week. There's somebody that's going to be promoted this month. There's somebody that's going to be promoted this year. And you need to just say, thank God for the famine. Because when it was all said and done, it was because of the famine that Joseph was rich. It was because of the famine that Joseph got his family back. It was because of the famine that Joseph was promoted to a place of leadership. It was because of the famine that he had authority. It was the famine that made him what he was. But we want to fight the fire and flee the famine instead of saying, thank God, I know I'm in God's purpose. I know I am God's will. I know the fire is not going to burn me. I know the famine is not going to starve me because I'm in the Father's hand and nothing can pluck me out. Can you give God a praise? You see, we don't like to praise God for the famine. We just like to praise God for the food. We don't like to praise God for the fire. We just like to praise God for the goal. But without the fire, there is no goal. Without the famine, there is no favor. It's all in the hand of God. There's an amazing story in the Bible, in the book of Ruth. It's about a woman called Naomi. And it's about the two famines that she went through in her life. It's the story about her daughter-in-laws and how that she told them, your husbands are dead. You might as well stay here. I'm going back home. But there was a little woman of the name of Ruth that said, where you go, I'm going to go. Well, honey, I might be going through a famine. I'm in a famine. I have no husband. I have no sons. I have no food. I have nothing. That's all right. Where you go, I'm going to go. Your God will be your God, will be my God. Where you lodge, I will lodge. It's a great story. Just take time to read it. It's only 4 chapters long. Study it out sometime because it's our story. And that is, we make our declaration that we're not going to let seasons and times affect us. I see some people are very seasonal in their Christianity, but there's some of us that are going to serve God whether it be winter or fall or spring or summer. It just doesn't matter what the seasons are. He's going to be our God all the time. And Ruth said to Naomi, I'm going to be with you. It doesn't matter what happens. And we find her gleaning back in the fields and just picking up what she can. But the story is great. The story is great. Suddenly she becomes the lover of Boaz. And she's a rich woman. And she's living a very desired life. Why? Because the famine brought her to that place. Don't curse the famine, ladies and gentlemen. It is the thing that simply elevates you to the place that God wants you. Where everything else falls away, you are promoted and the favor of God's on your side. You ought to get up every morning and thank God for what you're going through. Hey, look what I'm going through. But there's a whole lot of people that's going to fall off because they can't stand it. In fact, there's some demons that's going to fall off because they can't stand it. There's some bands that are going to be burnt off because they are not fire resistant. But my God has made me fire resistant. My God has made me famine resistant. It doesn't matter what comes. It's all going to work for my favor. It's all going to work for my gold. It's all going to work for my blessing. There's a reason why the Bible said all things work together for my good, because I love the Lord and I'm called according to His purpose. So fire, come on. Famine, come on. Because when the fire is over, I'm going to be rich with gold. When the famine is over, I'm going to be gathered with my family, and they're going to realize that my integrity with God has promoted me. And when I'm in the Father's hand, no man can pluck me out. When God promotes me, no man can take me down. When God calls me saved, nobody can call me lost. Can you give God some praise in this house right now? Hallelujah! Friend, you never get favor from God fleeing from the famine, going from one little place to another. I've watched people do that all my life. I've watched pastors do that. Every time there's a little ripple in their church they don't like, they look for another church to go pastor. I know a man that was an amazing pastor. He took a church in Oklahoma. That church was in dire trouble, dire straits. He took that church from a few hundred people and countless millions of dollars in debt to running 7,000 or 8,000 people. And it was now totally out of debt. But there were some people that rose up against him. Instead of him standing here and saying, look what God has done, he fled to Atlanta. And the last time I heard about him in Atlanta, he had gone through a divorce. His congregation, which was a couple thousand, was down to a couple hundred people. He said, what happened to him? He just couldn't endure the fire. And so he lost the gold. He couldn't endure the famine, so he didn't get the favor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, I believe so much in my faith, and the trial of my faith is so strong that no matter what comes, I'm going to testify that God is my strength, that God is my help, that people can't kill me, that circumstances can't void me, that the Lord is on my side, and trials of fire will be nothing but to bring gold to my life, and famines of time will do nothing but cause the favor of God to be manifest in my life. And so all I've got to do is stand and give God the praise and say, you're going through something? Say, no, I'm going through everything. I'm not going through something. I'm going through everything. trial after trial, victory after victory, doubt after doubt, faith after faith. I'm going through it all because, praise God, I found the gold is in the fire and the favor is in the famine. And when I look around, I say, wow, what a trial. There must be a big shipment of gold coming into my life. When I look around, I say, wow, what a famine. It must mean that God has got a lot of favor that he's getting ready to unload in my life. Would you stand and give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah. You got to be careful of just giving in to your fleshly desires. I knew a man that didn't come into the ministry till he was nearly 40 years of age. He went to a town in the Midwest and had unbelievable success. Unbelievable. He called me. I was 22 years of age. And he said, Brother Steve, I'm leaving this church. I said, oh, sir, don't do that. Don't do that. People that are very successful have big problems when they abandon what God favors them with. He said, but I want to go home. I want to go back to my city where I grew up. He said, there's a church there, and they've asked me to take it. But have you prayed? He said, Brother, I knew it was the will of God because I always wanted to go back home. So he took this large church. I wouldn't go to the church that he was trying to get me to. I was 22 years of age, and I didn't go. And I saw his wife 40 years later, and she said, you made a mistake. But I'm thinking, no, I didn't make a mistake. You all made a mistake. But he took this big church and left what God had raised up. It didn't take but about 5 years. I preached in the big church where he took. The congregation dwindled. He sold the building, built another building smaller, lost that building, was under investigation by the IRS. He died the other day, just a broken old man with nothing, because he didn't understand that the fire he was going on through in the Midwest was just that. It was just the fire. If he had stayed, there would have been a major ministry there today because God had done a great work there. If he had just stayed, the favor of God that was on him would have manifested many times and it would have multiplied manifold times. But he got afraid of the fire. He tried to fight the fire. He fled the famine and went to where he thought it was going to be easier. There's some people in this building right now, you're going through a fire. You're going through a famine. You're just days away from your gold delivery. You're just days away from your favor. And the devil is going to make you do everything he can to make you fight that fire and flee that famine and abandon it. You see, at my age, I just know so many people and so many preachers. Man, I can just go through a litany of them that were just amazingly blessed at one time. They're either dead or they're old people now living in abject failure because they fouled the fire and they fled the famine instead of trusting the Lord. You just got to stand still. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See the salvation of the Lord. Somebody in this building right now going through a fiery trial, I challenge you to step out of your pew and walk down this aisle and say, yes, I'm not going to fight this fire. I'm going to realize that what I thought was to destroy me was to refine me. Somebody that is going through a famine in your life right now, I challenge you to say, I'm not going to...